Welcome to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Buster Swoops and Michael Campbell. This week in preparation for Sabbath, April 6th, we look at Lesson 1, The War Behind All Wars. Join us as we survey the war in heaven that began the great controversy.
The Sabbath School Rescue Podcast is hosted by Michael Campbell and Buster Swoops at the Adventist Learning Community. Together, we love learning and have 18 years of pastoral experience, and now we have the privilege to dig deeper into the study.
All right, Michael, here we are, brand new quarter, the great controversy. Excited to launch a new quarter.
It's hardly anything more Adventist than the great controversy theme. And so what a great topic for this quarter.
Exactly. And I want to jump right into it. This is the war behind all wars. And our memory text comes from Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 8. It says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer."
Yeah, so this is a great segue as we dive into our topic for this week, as we're looking at this topic of war in heaven. And this is really sets the stage for the cosmic conflict and everything else that's going on, and for the quarter and for this week's lesson. And we just read verses 7 and 8.
Yeah.
But we have verse 9 as well, which I think is really important to just kind of build on this text that we just began with. And that it says, "The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray." So we know who it is, right? "And he was hurled to the earth." Now we know the location and his angels with him. So this is kind of a very poignant moment in the story of the whole history of the universe here. We have described for us in just a nutshell what is going on, and that is that there is a war. It's not just between two persons or two forces, but two ideas of how the universe should be run. And really, it's questioning, you know, the character of God. And what does that look like? And so Satan, or Lucifer, as we find him described elsewhere, is this one who is questioning who God is. And of course, we see in this text in prophetic words that he will be cast down, and what will be the result. And that's why we have Sam here on this earth and everything else. So it gives us a framework. It helps us understand what exactly is going on. So, and by the way, the lesson raises this question, you know, did a loving God create a demonic angel who initiated this war? Well, in a way, yes, because God created Lucifer, who became Satan or the devil, but okay. God creates sin. And so that was, God created each and every agent within the universe is having free will, as having agency. Here we have described for us what the results of that choice can be. You can't have free will or free choice and not have the risk that decision could go another way. So that's really setting the stage once again for what's happening here. We have a couple other texts, specifically Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 15. It's talking about, and again, prophetic kind of language here, symbolic language, describing this as the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect beauty. You were in Eden in the Garden of God. And so you get an idea of the situation of Lucifer, who was in heaven. And in fact, verse 14, "You were the anointed as a guardian cherub on the holy mount of God, and blameless in your ways from the day you were created, till wickedness was found in you."
Yeah.
So this is, again, this is where rebellion happened. This is where, again, you see this incredible contrast. So really, it's two different ways, two different governments, I guess, is partly what we're going to come back to if we're talking about this great controversy theme. But Monday's lesson kind of continues the saga as Lucifer who deceives and Christ who prevails.
Yeah, you know, the principal contributor, I have to read this portion. "There is no logical explanation for why Lucifer, this perfect angel, should have allowed pride and jealousy to take root in his heart and grow into rebellion against the Creator." And so we see here, there's no logical explanation. I've heard people explain it. I've heard people, I mean, there's a whole theology behind this theodicy. Why does a good God create an evil being? And then we're going to be talking a little bit about it here in Monday's lesson, about the free choice, free will. Why is it that the Apostle Paul wrote Romans chapter 7, those things that I don't want to do, I do them. And so we can cast a stone at the enemy. And yet in our own hearts, there's things that I don't want to do that I find myself doing, falling short of the glory of God, and find myself repenting and depending on God rather than giving into prayerfully, rather than giving into pride and selfishness. So it asks this question, Revelation 12, verse 4. It asks this question. It says, what does this passage reveal about the enemy's or Satan's ability to deceive? It says here, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And so we see this controversy is not only with Satan and his angels. That third is talking about the number of angels in heaven that are now in contention against God, but also in contention against the church. And so we see that we're facing an enemy that we can't see, but at the same time, we see the effects of what he is doing all around us. And in that same vein, we're talking a little bit more about choice and what does all this mean. And so Genesis 2:18 through 17, as I'm turning here, it goes on and says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree you may eat of the garden, you can freely eat. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day we'll know from good from evil. Exodus 32:26, not going to go through all these, but once again, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves to him. So here it's Joshua 24, choose you this day whom you will serve. All of this, all these texts, as you're going to go through them, the rest of the texts are 1 Kings 18:20-21. Revelation 22, verse 17, where the spirit of the bride say, come, and let him who hears come. So there's this plea, this calling, but there's no coercion. There's no forcing. It is about choice. It's about free will. But we have to choose which side we're going to stand on. And The enemy is also bidding us, and he is asking us to choose. God is asking us to choose with our minds, hearts, our soul, our strength, our entire beings, and the enemy is oftentimes asking us to choose with sensationalism. He's asking us to give into our base, I guess you could say, ambitions, rather than fully thinking about it and fully feeling it and going in it with all of our hearts as God is asking us to do with love. And so with that state of mind, Michael, tell us about Tuesday's lesson, Planet Earth Becomes Involved.
Yeah, this sounds pretty intense, right? I mean, it's one thing to see about like a battle from far away and the other side of the world. It, you know, you feel bad for what's going on, but suddenly when it gets, you know, close to home, it becomes personal. You know somebody that was, or their family that's somehow connected to that warfare. Reminds me of some stories, Buster. I've been reading a lot of mission stories of some missionaries that were in China in the 1920s, and they're observing all this stuff that's going on. And then finally, the battle line comes literally to the mission station. There's bullets going over their heads, and suddenly they're like, "Oops, we should have fled," you know.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it becomes very deeply personal. And this is what this lesson today is talking about. Genesis 3:1-3 describes for us the Garden of Eden, the serpent, right, more crafty than any of the wild animals God had made, and said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Right. And so this is, it says, cast down to this earth. This is where the devil, the action, this is where the battle lines are, right? And of course, we know the end of the story, and this becomes the genesis of not only our creation, it's the genesis, but it's the genesis of sin. So, and that's, again, what the other passages are talking about, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And so therefore, even though sin has entered, God has made a way of escape. And that's the beautiful promise that we have, just as sin entered the world and death by sin. But now we also have the promise of life through Jesus Christ. But for the moment, the action's here on earth. And that's what scripture tells us, helps us to realize our place in the big cosmic sphere, the whole universe, all this other stuff that's happening. And so that is absolutely essential, because it helps us know our place, what's going on, and where we fit in the midst of this cosmic great controversy that's taking place. But I especially love the title of Wednesday's lesson, Love Finds a Way, Buster.
Yeah, so Michael, you hit the nail on the head there, which is the plan of salvation. And before sin even entered the world, we understand that there was a plan of salvation, and that was in Christ. Even in the garden, before the deception, Genesis 3, verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is a prophecy of what was going to happen, and indeed, Satan was crushed, and Christ's heel was bruised, but he rose again. We just had Easter resurrection Sunday that just happened just this past week. And so we look at all this and we recognize what Christ is doing and the prophecy and the promise, and that love is the reason why there was a foundational promise and a foundational plan that was set in place. And it goes on, it shares some more text about this, Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And I love this as well. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Galatians 3, verse 13. And the last, but definitely not least, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, God, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How beautiful, how powerful, and praise the Lord, he didn't leave us stranded, but he gave us so many lifelines and continues to do so. And the reason why behind this is not because he wants to win, it's not to prove that he's bigger and stronger, it's to prove that he is love. That's his character, that's what he's about. And he gives us chance after chance to once again choose him. And love is about giving choices, not once again by force or coercion, but truly free will by saying you have a choice. I don't know what else to say about this, except for I think sometimes we miss this point. And even in our churches, I'm going to get real for just a second, Michael, we use force and coercion, and we use binding rules and regulations to try to keep everyone pinned in. And by the way, those have a place. God has those. But then to allow the Holy Spirit to truly work on us, to truly sanctify us. And sanctification is a lifetime process.
Right. So
we want to see someone popcorned in, meaning put them in the microwave and press 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden you have a meal there.
Cookie cutter religion.
Exactly. This is crockpot religion.
Ooh.
And sometimes we don't like the crockpot because it takes a long time, but the flavors that come out are so much better. If you tell me you made a soup, Michael, in the microwave, I don't think I want to eat it. If you told me you put it in the crockpot, I try it, you know?
All right.
Michael can actually cook. I would definitely eat your food.
All right, Buster.
All that to say, audience, please
allow
the Holy Spirit to work on us. I think it was a little cartoon that someone once shared with me, that we go out fishing, we catch the fish, and then sometimes we want to clean it up and we want to do everything else to it. And I said, no, I asked you to just put the rod in. I'm going to make sure the hook gets on and catch them, and I'm going to make sure I clean them. That's not your job. That's not your calling. Your calling is to bring them in and allow me to work on them and to live your life as an example so they know what it looks like to become clean.
Mm.
And in there, part of becoming clean is getting dirty, because we're going to mess up. And with grace and mercy, moving forward in the beauty of Christ. And so with that being said, Michael, take us to Thursday's lesson. Tell us about our high priest.
Yeah, and I like what you said, because that freedom to mess up, I mean, that's what God allowed, and why sin, you know, with Lucifer is God allowed Lucifer to have that free choice. But we're coming and finishing up this first week's lesson by coming back to Jesus. I mean, it's all about Jesus. And I love this Christ-centered approach to the lesson right here from the beginning of the Great Controversy. You know, we like to talk about Bible prophecy and end time events, the apocalypse, all of that stuff. But none of that really matters if we don't have Jesus. And what's so exciting about the Great Controversy is the work of Jesus in the sanctuary in heaven as our high priest. And We find that described for us in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, classic text here. And but I want people to let that marinate, you know, kind of like that crock pot, right? To meditate on that this week. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. And so, and then this beautiful promise, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So just a beautiful promise here of the work and ministry of Jesus, that he comes,
yes, close.
You know, whatever struggle we may have, that Jesus understands the whole full range of human emotions. He understands those challenges. He understands what we're going through. And in fact, that leads to this other promise, the Hebrews 7:25. And I hope if you need a Bible promise to memorize this week, to just, again, marinate a little bit more in that crock pot. If we believe, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So, and that's what I think people have to understand, is if you really understand the sanctuary and what Jesus is doing, all of this is about, Jesus isn't up there kind of watching like, gotcha.
Yeah.
Instead, he's like, you know, he's interceding on our behalf. He's like, oh, if I could just help them a little bit more, you know, what can I do? You know, he's interceding. He's trying to work on our behalf as our advocate, to try to plead for us and on our behalf. So just a beautiful way of looking and understanding who Jesus is, what his ministry in the sanctuary in heaven is all about. When you understand it properly, such a beautiful thing, Buster. So I just hope our list, you know, you don't have to be afraid of what's going on in the sanctuary. We're talking about the great controversy, all this stuff. Just a beautiful, beautiful framework as we understand a little glimpse of what God is like and what Jesus is like and what his ministry is for us. John 17, wrapping up this Thursday's lesson, John 17, 24 to 26, Father, I want those you've given to me to be with me where I am. Okay, so not only is he advocating on our behalf, he wants to spend time with us. I mean, what an amazing Savior. You know, you really know somebody's your friend when you get a sense that they want to spend time with you, right?
Amen.
And so here we have this promise, and then verse 26, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. You know, God's love, it's not just like I give you something to get something back. It's a selfless kind of love. And that's why there's a Trinity in heaven, you know,
right.
Father, Holy Ghost. It's not just one person wrapped up in someone else. Always someone selflessly giving to another. And that's what God's love is about. And we get a sense that Jesus is just trying to show us what God is like, what his true character is like. And that's what Satan questioned. You know, God is not really a loving God. God doesn't really have your best interest at heart. And yet that's what the whole gospel and the plan of salvation and what we see revealed for us, what the gospel shows, how beautiful the character of God really is.
You know, Michael, continuing, I must be hungry, but the crock pot, all the ingredients become one. Honestly, right? The carrots and the peas and the whatever else you put in the soup, potatoes and everything else, the curry, it all gets in there, the seasonings, and it becomes one. And that's what God is about. He wants us to be one, not just like the Godhead, they're one, but he wants the disciples. He prayed that they'd be one and that those who would follow after them, we see there as well in John 17, which is us, those of us who are disciples after the disciples. He wants us to all be together, harmoniously working with that synergy.
Absolutely. Well, we're off to a great start with this great controversy as we're going to be unpacking this for the next quarter. And I'm just so excited, Buster, that we can kind of get this behind the scene look at what's going on in salvation history and our world today and what we have to hope and look forward to.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, and I can't wait till we can tackle next week.
Until next week. So you've been listening to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Soup.
And Swoops.
Signing out. As we wrap up, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, the Adventist Learning Community, a ministry of the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists.
You can join us each week by subscribing on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Also, make sure you share with as many people as possible. And be sure to give us feedback by rating our podcast. And go to our website, sabbathschoolrescue.org, for each weekly episode.